Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifter, and we have a revisiting Paradigm Shifter, somebody that I'm always excited to present to you, Brian David Anderson, who's using his, I would say, your intuition, his brilliant scientific mind, and his metaphysical prowess, and so on, to create some amazing solutions to our health problems. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Good to be here.
Oh, it's really exciting. And so you're an inventor. And what could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what is a little bit about the backlog of, influences that brought you to this amazing place?
Started out as an athlete in high school, then got into photojournalism and majored in photojournalism at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Then in 1988, I had a real major shift. I had done a lot of traveling around the world, so I was not really locked into a lot of the traditions of the United States. And so in 1988, lots of good things happened. There was room temperature superconductors coming out. There was various other things. And there was a gentleman by the name of Pat Flanagan, and he had come out with some drops where you put it into your water and it structured the water.
Oh, I remember.
I remember
him
that,
announcing into the marketplace for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what I wanted to do then is his stuff was very expensive, and then there was a chemical analysis actually done years later that some friends of mine did, and it was not very good ingredients that were in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but my thing at the time then was I wanted to develop a technology where you could be non-chemical, where some way that you could put it on something and subject the water to something and structure the water in a very inexpensive type of manner. And so that was what started out as the goal, the direction, and everything else like that. And then I have accomplished that and then went on to do a lot more things. And again, all having to do with patterns and frequencies and et cetera.
Well, explain a little bit about that, patterns and frequencies. Is it sacred geometrics?
What I really first did was I studied the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and they had discovered in the 1940s when the airplane was invented, so I'd be back in the 20s, I guess, and they actually took a camera over the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, and they did it right at the sunlight. It was just perfect. And they found out that the walls were not flat. The walls are slightly indented of the Great Pyramid.
Oh.
And so I'm not a mathematician, but I started working out some math type of things on geometry, and I indented the walls in a very specific type of pattern. And then at that time, there was a program called AutoCAD that came out, and I got just enough knowledge to be dangerous with it. And I put my figures together with my indented walls, and made this pattern on a piece of paper and grabbed a glass of juice and a glass of wine and put it over the paper, and nothing happened. I thought, well, what if I break this thing up and give it some sort of dimension rather than just one-dimensional on paper? What if I broke it up? And I did. I broke up the whole pattern that I created, and just a little portion of the pattern was on each piece of paper, and I had a one-inch thick stack of papers. And then grab my juice and my wine and put it over, and voila, it changed the taste. And
oh, wow.
I put it in a box and I started pointing it at people's pain. I would take it away. And so just the geometric patterns on paper then were doing ideal things of what I wanted it to do. And then at that time, I was doing patterns and that type of thing. And then there was a thing called Cool Edit Pro. And it was a computer program where you can control frequencies.
Oh, really? Does that still exist?
That's previous to this Cool Edit Pro, there was what's called frequency generators, but you had no control over amplitude or phase or the whole thing that's very important for frequencies. So I took the values that I had in AutoCAD and those geometric numbers, and I brought them over and I put them into the numbers, into the phase and the amplitude and the frequencies, and then fired up some speakers and put my drink and my juice and wine between the speakers, and voila, it changed the taste. So that was then getting another major breakthrough. And then there was something happened that I still don't understand to this day. And I don't know how it happened, but the wires of the speakers came off. So it went from the computer to the amplifier to the wires. And the, both wires were disconnected. And I was running this experiment. And the experiment turned out very, very well. In fact, even better. As I started then to explore more, I found out that the speakers were actually interfering.
Oh.
The true thing that was making everything work was the electromagnetic fields coming off of the wires. So that then led to the Trivortex treatment chamber, where I have actually graphics and I also have frequency. And so anything that goes in this chamber for 24 hours and comes out later on has all these very unique type of characteristics.
Huh. So we always put our drinks, whatever they are, on our little disc, and I think it makes them better. After a while, you can't remember how much better it is or if it is, but still we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it makes makes the water wetter.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the people listening here, if you go to the Trivortex website, trivortex.com, TRIVORTEX.com, at the very top of the, or near the top, there is a video. I was on the local NBC station here, and I talk a lot about the water, and then I talk, there's some other things of people talking about how to help them and that type of thing. So, you know, check out the video. At the bottom of that page, then I have a video that I posted about water. And it's a little it's about 6 minutes long. And I give all the highlights about proper water hydration and what I feel is proper hydration. And over the years now, that's been hard to believe, what, that's 32 years, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So 32 years of then, you know, of the experiences that I had. And,
but why does the water hydrate better? Well, can you explain that briefly?
The best way I can say is if the particles, the makeup of the water itself, is if you compared it to like that of a pool table and you came along and you know, all the balls in a rack and then you hit it with a cue ball and everything scatters everywhere. And then somebody tells you, okay, well, now all these balls that are scattered and moving and now not only are they sitting there, but they're moving in all this chaos pattern. Somehow that's supposed to make it through the membrane of your cell, and it's all chaos.
Mm.
So electromagnetic fields and the energies that are emanated from the Trivortex products, they put everything like they take the pool balls and put them in a rack.
Ah.
Or the light particle, and then now you can penetrate right through that cell. With being organized, you can now penetrate through the cell, and we have a very with some discoveries done by scientists that have now been buried. These studies, you can't find them anymore. I copied all of them, but they discovered that there is the chemical element of phosphorus surrounds all the cells of the body. There's a phosphorus sheath, and it acts like a gatekeeper. And if it's chaos, the water's chaos, or the energy is chaos, it won't let it through. A gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper says, I want to have organization. And another thing, too, it doesn't matter about pH. The pH of a water does not matter when it's coming through the membrane. The most important thing is organization and purity. Your water needs to be pure, and it needs to be organized. So that's why distilled water is so good, is that that's why our whole planet is nothing but a big, huge distiller. The clouds are nothing but this big, because it goes up, it vaporizes, and it leaves all the contaminants. As the water evaporates, it leaves all the contaminant. The only thing that's there is the hydrogen and oxygen. And that hydrogen and oxygen is being pulled up in a vortex. So when it forms a cloud, now it's a pure water molecule that's organized. That's what matters. It's only hydrogen and oxygen, and it's organized. And so then when that drop comes on your car hood, then it spreads out and what's called low surface tension. And when the drop that comes out of a distiller and drops on your car hood beads up. And so the goal here then is that you want to take your water coming out of a distiller and give it the same type of properties as it comes out of the sky. And that's what I feel. And all the tests that we have done so far indicate that that's what is accomplished with Trivortex, especially a little product called the Trivortex disk, where you just set your chemicals or your water on the disk and let it sit there for 30 seconds to a minute. And now it has this structure. When you drink it, it's going to makes the water wetter. That's hard to think, well, all water is wet the same thing. No, it's not. The wetness means absorption.
So it's more thirst quenching then.
Yeah. So when you have water that's disorganized, you drink it and your cells aren't absorbing it. So then it just flows right through your stomach and just flows out. That's it. Gone. And it does no hydrating. So now what you want with this organization is now penetrating those cells and absorbing type of thing. So
if a person has water retention, which some people do, that's a good way to sort of sort it out. Is it just lost on its
way? Well, water retention also means that the body is either, again, not absorbing, it's just the water is flowing through them, or they're not drinking enough water. So there's an automatic response by the human body then, is that when it's not getting liquids, what does it do? It naturally will then hold on to liquids. So it sounds kind of crazy, but if you have inflammation throughout the body, one of the best things to do is hydrate, because it's, again, like a backed-up toilet. You want to flush it. You want to move things out. You want to get going.
But you want to use structured water, not just water, right?
Right, yeah. So structured water then is going to flush you, and it's going to also help that inflammation, because then inflammation is many ways the body's way of trying to, I don't have enough water, so what am I going to do? I'm going to hold on to it. And how you hold on to your water when you're dehydrated is different from me, and it's different from everybody. Everybody has their specific way of how and where they hold their water when you're dehydrated or you're not absorbing water that you're drinking.
So it could be like the brain, it could be the heart, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump around because you have so many different windows into some of the powers of your explorations and your use on the planet. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that I loved way back, and you stopped creating it, and I forgot to backtrack and find out that you were creating, is called transformed plant oils. Now, we move from water into oils. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Because what I did is the whole thing about Trivortex, that it works on these frequencies that I have now developed. I had a individual out of South Africa. He was a distributor for a while, and we started working with frequencies in this Cool Edit Pro that I was telling you about. Now it's called Adobe Edition. And so he had a computer expert, and he looked at it and he said, hey, wait a minute. He said, these programs that you're using on your computer, they're perfect for reproducing like a guitar or a voice or whatever. It's perfect for that. But he said, when you go to actually create a frequency, you have no idea, you know, the computer cannot keep the steady tone up. It just simply doesn't have enough information. So you may think you have 100 hertz, but then, you know, a little bit, 1 second into the signal, it's gone off and it's erratic. And he said you have to have an algorithm, a proper algorithm, to keep the frequencies on track and keep them very accurate. And so
That was helpful.
That was then my South African distributor was a fairly successful businessman. So $40,000 later,
wow,
we now have this program we developed over 10 years ago, and it was called Trivortex 1. And now we just came out, just finished off Trivortex 10.
Wow.
So we've had 10 different versions of this. And again,
iterations, so to speak, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then that's where these frequencies now are very much used. And also during that time, I found a way that I could power small appliances. I could take a computer with an amplifier and then with a light bulb, where it didn't have, it may have high voltage, but it has low amperage.
Okay.
That's what a light bulb does. And so I could power light bulbs, I could power all sorts of things off the computer, where everybody else was using 60 hertz, I was using 2,000, 5,000 hertz. And that makes a big difference for the body. So then also is I could also power ozone generators with this same thing, and it changes the ozone totally, radically changes it when you're instead of a 60 hertz frequency, you're putting 2,500 to 5,000 hertz.
Hmm.
It makes a totally different type of ozone.
And what's the whole effect of ozone?
Ozone then, the traditional way of people saying ozone is that there is an extra molecule of oxygen. So when you create these things, is that somehow the oxygen, a pure oxygen, flows through an ozone generator. As it's passing through, somehow it goes to O3 and then goes into your body and dissipates and that type of thing. I don't think that's what happens. Nikola Tesla said that the only chemical element that electricity will compound with is oxygen. And so there's this really high voltage type of plasma tube that the ozone goes by, and they're saying it goes to O3, and I'm saying no, what's happening is the electrical charge is actually compounding with the oxygen and goes out. When that oxygen then goes and is pumped into an oil, that electrical particle breaks off, that causes a chemical reaction in the oil. That chemical reaction causes then a new compound. And so with that new compound, then that's why ozone into oils, you take an olive oil and you start pumping oil through it or pumping ozone through it, and it goes from a dark color to a light color.
Oh.
And so where everybody else now is working with, just 60 hertz, the ozone that they create then and the oils that they create are very pungent. They're very, they have a really bad smell. They take a long time to absorb. They're still very effective. That's why ozone oils still are very effective. But the ozone oils that I do are a lot more effective because, again, they're more towards the body. They don't have this harshness. I also then created another type of device where air can be pumped through it, and it puts oxygen ions into the liquid. So it goes from instead of doing an oxygen, which you do with normal ozone, I go from just an ordinary aquarium pump. It goes through my ion generator type of thing where oxygen ions are injected into it. Then as it flows through the ozone generator, it shatters the ozone and puts it into an ion level, which nobody else can do. Instead of having these big molecules where anybody's done anything with ozone oil or ozone water, you always can smell it, you can taste it when you're normal type of thing. So when I was doing my initial experimentations, I had just come up with this system where I had the pump, just an aquarium pump with my thing, and then goes to the ozone generator, went into water. And so the first time I ever did this, I had the ozone generator turned all the way up. Now, these are ions that are going into the water. Normally what they are is much larger particles, and you can actually smell the ozone.
Mm.
And you have to be very careful then. And so I picked up my thing, and I didn't realize that the ions were caught in the water. So when I went to go smell it, there was no ozone. And ozone, and I went, this is ridiculous. Now, I was really disappointed. So I took a big swig of this water. Well, what had happened, again, these ions were captured in the water. So as I drank it, now all those ions released. And so now all this ozone gets released in my body massively.
What did it feel like? Was it weird, scary?
Yeah, it was like I couldn't breathe. I mean, it's like when you just get a big blast of ozone.
Wow.
And so it was like I was coughing and gagging, and I was just screaming, because I knew what this meant. This meant it would totally do what the oils. So where everybody else is pumping their ozone and it bubbles out of the oils, my ozone will go right into the oils, capture, and then do a lot more. And so that's where, again, there's very hardly any smell to the we don't call it transformed oils anymore. And
what do you call it?
Transozone.
Transozone.
So
I'm ordering some. I know it's absolutely amazing.
Let's see here.
Also, you've mentioned often silver hydrosol. when you're talking about various putting together various techniques and so on, you use silver hydrosol, and I thought, what is that?
Hang on a second. Okay, pardon me. I didn't say trans. I meant to say a brain thing there. It's called 2, and it's called Totally Ozone Oils 2.
Totally Ozone Oils. What a great name.
Yeah, so, what was the question again there about?
I don't really mind in which direction we go, because that's very exciting. I was just asking about silver hydrosol.
Oh, silver, so yeah, Totally Ozone Oils, and then silver hydrosol.
Gel.
I got bit by a brown recluse spider.
Okay.
On the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And my arm was just radically bad. Mm-hmm. The skin was falling off my elbow. I had a hematoma from my wrist up to my armpit, and my arm was just totally massively swollen. So there is a silver hydrosol protocol where you do silver hydrosol spray, then you put on gel, and this is what the manufacturer recommends, and it's good for infections and that type of thing. So I was trying to see if this was working, and nothing worked. And so then I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll use some of this ozonated oil.
Okay.
So I put the spray down. I put the gel, ozone gel down. Then I put the oil on top of that, and then I put some gauze around it. Still didn't work. So then I put the I did it again, and this is going to be like a last chance type of thing. And I was 11 o'clock at night. And so what I did is I needed to get some sleep. I had not been sleeping the last two or three nights. And so I wrapped it in cellophane, and the whole arm in cellophane. And so then around, that was 11 o'clock, around 12 o'clock, the hematoma that was from my wrist all the way to my armpit, it was like somebody had a blowtorch on it. It had a tremendous amount of pain to it. And my arm was undulating and doing all these things. And so then I unwrapped it, and my wife is a veterinarian, and the last time that I actually went to a doctor and made an appointment with a doctor was when I was 23. I'm now 67, and now this happened like 10, 15 years ago, and so she's laughing. She says, oh, you're going to have to go to a real doctor, aren't you? Ha ha. And she comes over and looks at my arm, and there's very few things that make her speechless. And she was speechless when she saw my arm. The hematoma was totally gone. The swelling
wow.
had gone down about 80 to 85%.
Wow.
And so that was the major thing there, is that it took that out. Now, at the same time, we had moved, and I had used sandals to go up and down the stone steps of our home, and I totally blew out my plantar fasciitis, or plantar, in my bottom of my foot. And if this worked on this, why don't we try my plantar fasciitis? The one thing, though, is that I had what's called a hygroma, and that is a water pocket that's left over from the spider bite.
Okay.
And my wife, being the veterinarian, she said, oh, just get used to it. You can have it there the rest of your life. I see it in animals all the time, so it's just, just live with it. So I put this thing on my foot for the plantar, and just around my ankle bone, the massive pustules came up, massive boils. Didn't hurt, but they were just water, 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 and I had to wear a sandal. But then I looked the next day, and half my hygroma was gone.
Wow.
So I thought, let's check this out now. And so I went and did it again about 5 days later. It didn't do a thing. I did it a third time about 5 days after that. This time it really took off. I mean, just the water was just pouring out of me. And if any one thing that really freaked out my wife, being traditionally trained in vet medicine, was then my hygroma was gone. It's totally gone today. You can't
wow.
see a bite. You can't see anything remnants of that. And so then that became then, now when people come into the Trivortex Institute, we do what's called the cling wrap protocol. So everybody then, they get their feet wrapped, and we try to pull out toxins out of the feet. And it's really amazing how everybody has their little different thing of how they react to it.
Do you do that if somebody comes in for stem cells? Do you do whatever
the protocol is? It doesn't matter. Who, every person gets the cling wrap protocol. That's just a standard thing we do.
How interesting.
Detox the body, so it helps out. And people can also buy that. They can buy the oils.
Okay.
They can buy the two. They can buy the silver hydrazole and the spray and the gel. And so that's something always to keep by if you have a bee sting, you have a spider bite or something like that, and just follow that cling wrap protocol. And so I have now a lot of people that's just an emergency thing they have in their cabinet. They don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Only during emergencies do they have just for the silver.
Okay, that's wonderful. I don't want to not cover every single thing, which is impossible, of course, with you. But talk about your stem cell work, please.
Started off with a device. I call it the Triintrasound. It's a little device. It looks like a little hammer, and it was built in Germany in the 1970s.
Okay.
And it came out originally to be to break up acids in runners.
Okay.
So after you did a mile run or even your 100-yard dash or whatever, you'd have the uric acid built up in your muscles. So this was a massager to get that out. And it had a 60-hertz frequency. And so I thought, well, what if I were to put a little pack of what I call my little tri-vibes?
Mm-hmm.
It's where you can actually wear your vitamins and nutrients. You can see that up on the Trivortex website.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really pretty.
So,
I'm wearing one right now, and everybody asks.
So
me
I did a pouch form of that. So instead of putting the metal, I put the pouch inside of this sound head.
Great.
And put it on. And so one of my distributors out of Phoenix was one of the first persons to buy this device. And she was working with a diabetic who had the leg scheduled for amputation.
Oof.
And so she put it on there, and it turned out to be a neighbor. So she could do this 3 times a week and just put it directly on the tibia, the shin bone,
mm-hmm.
and for 15, 20 minutes at a time. And one of the first things that happened that we were just blown away with is that the blood sugars of the diabetic was in the upper 200, 300 range. And it brought them down to anywhere between 95 to 130.
How long did that take?
The minutes.
Oh, gosh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, and we've since now proven it. We've done this many, many other people also.
Hmm.
And so wow, what happened there? What made this do this? And so then 1 month later, the guy, the leg was totally normal.
Wow.
And he avoided the amputation. So what happened? Well, this got me totally into stem cells, because in stem cells, there's two things you want to do. You want to, first off, get them stimulated. They come from the bone marrow. So you have this big, long tibia bone that's right on the surface, near the surface of the skin. And so when she was putting that on his leg, he was stimulating the stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
So they were getting out of the bone marrow. Now, one of the things you also need to do is that when the stem cell comes out, its DNA is partially turned off. So the stem cells float around our bodies, and they turn on their DNA to match up to become a stomach muscle or, heart or whatever it needs to be done. It turns itself on. So that's why stem cells are so important. That's why I call them stem. They are at the stem, but it goes out to the leaves, and they become any leaf it wants to.
Oh, wow.
So the same thing here, it gets any body part. So that's why it's so important about stem cells. So what was happening is that two things were happening. The stem cells were being generated, and also the DNA was being turned on. And that's where a lot of people then, your DNA does not turn on, your electromagnetic fields aren't strong enough, and that's basically aging. So two things happen is you're not producing the stem cells, or you're not turning on the DNA, and it floats all around your body. I had a gentleman come in, and he owned a umbilical stem cell company, and he was getting umbilical stem cell injections for a prevention of diabetes and prevention of amputation. He had diabetes, but the stem cells they were taking weren't at all helping him at all with his diabetes. And so he did the, he bought a device, and he had one of these monitors that he could put on and look at on his phone for his blood sugar. And he then put 10 minutes on one tibia, 10 minutes on the other tibia. Now, right before that, he did a blood test, and his blood sugar is around 295. Then he came back 20 minutes later, now just, and then just took his blood again, and it was 50.
Hmm.
And said plunged it way, way down. But then usually, like, I know diabetics, and they said when I told them this, well, they said I'd be in the hospital. And I asked this guy, he totally said, he said, I feel really good. But part of the reason why it dropped to 50 is because, see, these umbilical stem cells were floating around in his body and without the DNA turned on. What the frequency did is two things. It lowered the blood sugar, but it also turned on those stem cells.
Oh, that had already been applied. Hmm.
Yeah, so helping turn the stem cells on. So then that led all then to a thing of frequencies. I now have this frequency program that I have total control over everything. So then I came up with a thing that applies to the tibia, the shin bone, and it comes through the computer off the positive. Then what I do is take the negative pole of the computer and put it on the target area, wherever it might need to be applied to. And we can then move the stem cells or stem cell energies from the tibia to the target area. And then also when it gets to the target area, we do everything we can then to turn on that DNA.
Hmm.
And that's why we have tables. We have, I have two different type of tables now and two different rooms. You spend a half hour in each room. The whole thing is to get the body stimulating stem cells.
Wow.
This stem cells.
It's very big news. Is it exciting for you? I'll bet it is.
Oh, yeah. Because, mm-hmm. Again, if you look up on the website, you can go to the stem cell stimulator tab,
mm-hmm.
and then you can see there that all the various videos we have of people with strokes and everything. Again, we don't have anything for cures. I've never cured anybody of anything,
mm-hmm.
But we have definitely improved the quality of life. That's the most important thing right now, is to improve the quality of life. And, you know, I'll leave the curing to medical doctors. My goal is to improve the quality of life.
Well, it sounds to me like a lot of your work is about activating our natural creation energies in our body mind. Does that make sense? Because usually when you get into aging or damage, everything isn't activated the same, is it?
That was I'd never heard it put that way before, and that was very good, apropos, a very good way of putting that.
Hyper simplifying is just so I can understand it. But it's a very, very exciting kind of thing. Now you have didn't write the actual name down, but you've got an interesting
I have another
zone.
Device that it ozonates water.
Yeah.
It's
an ozonator, is that what it is?
Yeah, so I had a device that I developed. It was one of the very first device I ever developed, and called Multitrans, and it had a high voltage with it, and it created ozone, and it put ozone into water. And it was very difficult at the time to build. I shelved it, and I went into other areas, that type of thing. And so some other people have come back onto me and said, hey, do you have a way that we can do this transozone? So say like if we have a device and we want to put it through glass to glass rather than having to put it actually in the water itself, like most normal ozonization, we can do it real quick. And I said, can you develop something like that? I said, well, I've already done it. I did it, you know, back in 1994. And so I had a gentleman that was using it, and he bought it from me in 1994. And he died at the age of 97.
Oh, wow.
in 2018.
Okay.
And in his will, he specifically put that he wanted Multitrans to come back to me. He wanted to be shipped. So the daughter hunted me down and said, you know, part of the will is that you get I get the machine back, my device back. And he didn't know at the time, and nobody knew, that I didn't have a fully functioning unit. So when it came back, it was still in pristine condition.
Wow.
His,
what a gift.
His daughter said that part of, he felt the reason why he made 97 is because he was using and drinking the ozonated water. And so then I now have a new device called TransOzone.
Okay.
And we modified the parts that I had in 94 aren't made anymore, so I had to have them special fabricated. And so now we have TransOzone and for doing water. And recommend send over a paper on that. Still formulating that, but it's working out real well. It's helped a lot of people.
So what do people do? Just drink the water, and that's good enough.
And what's really neat then is if you're if you're ozonating away there and you have this for your private home and somehow it touches onto your skin or whatever else like that, it won't hurt anything. So it won't harm anything. You can't be harmed by it at all.
Oh, that's really, really interesting. Now you have something called an NOA device.
Yeah, a nano oxygen accelerator. So again, it was some
that's
of the,
not the same the, thing, the, right?
No, it's a tube, it's a cardboard tube, and again, it's described, if you go up on the products page, it's under, it says NOAA, and it's a cardboard tube, it has metal oxides on it, and then there's a copper wire that's on top of the metal oxides, and when a frequency is put into that copper wire, it dislodges the oxygen ions. And they go out, they come through the tube, and then they go out the back of the tube. There's a dome on one side, and it's open on the other. And these oxygen ions, when they come in contact with any type of inflammation, they act almost like if you can say, here's the balloon, that's your inflammation, and here comes the needle, which is an oxygen ion, and just basically then reduces that inflammation down to a much smaller size. And so it's worked out for a lot of things. Also, I put all different types of magnesium. Every kind of magnesium is put inside the tube. So when those ions come through, it's now also picking up ions of magnesium, and it's carrying them directly into the body. And it's very good for digestive systems, for if you have any type of blockages, constipation, that type of thing. The person who helps me do my electronics, he's out of Indiana. And this is now a year ago, and we were working on the NOAA units. And he had a fully functioning unit there in Indiana. And so he calls me up, and he says, hey, I said, I can't help you out anymore. I got to take a break from making these things. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, 10 years ago I had AFib. That's where the heart kind of fluctuates. It doesn't have a steady beat. And he said, I had a $110,000 operation, uninsured. He said, I just paid it off a couple months ago. And he said, my AFib came back last night, the worst it's ever been.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, okay, well, hold on to here now. So one of the things also I put in there is iodine in the NOAA unit. I said, now in this open end of the tube, what you're going to do now is just go around your colon and around your stomach and the whole digestive system. Just keep going. Just move it, because now I said all these ions are going to get into your stomach.
So the tube appears to be empty, right? And the ions.
But it's actually there's and if you put it over a balloon or you put it over inflammation and you hold it with two fingers, it actually will repel away from the water. It moves away from water.
Wow.
So you know that there's something working there. And so then now I said, what you're going to do is put the unit over your pubic bone tonight as you're sleeping. So the next morning he calls me at 7 a.m. and he said, hey, is there something that normally happens when you do this? And I said, you've been on the toilet all night, haven't you? He goes, yeah. And I said, your AFib is gone too, isn't it? He goes, yeah. And he was on speakerphone and his wife started crying in the background. And I said, now think back, 10 years ago, you were really constipated, weren't you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, your problem was not your heart. Your problem was that the magnesium level in your gut and your whole digestive system was probably not there. It was totally depleted. And that's what was causing the AFib, was the lack of magnesium. And as soon as you got the magnesium and you got the things going and you got the constipation, you got everything moving, then I said, then that is what impacted the heart then. It cleared it up.
Hmm.
And so that was now, that's about almost been a year, year and a half since that happened. He went out and had some MSG at a Chinese place, and it came back that night, so he knew exactly what it was. And so he's now done MSG, and he's had no heart problems ever since.
Hmm. So he's still using it, though. I mean, he doesn't just come to
Yeah, he uses it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How often do people use these little wonderful gimmicks? Or they're not gimmicks.
As long as you can. There's no overdosing at all with Thrivortex. Because
mm-hmm.
if your body gets the maximum, it's not like a gauge that you have in your body. The body just simply doesn't absorb it anymore. So you can't overdose.
So that's good to know. Back to the NOA, and then you were talking earlier about the one, and I shifted computers, which I told you before, but I have been looking at one that looked like a little water pistol or something. You know, is that what you were speaking about earlier?
Little water what now?
It looked like a water pistol, that shape.
Yeah, that was like a little hammer device. Yeah, it looks like a little hammer.
Oh, okay. You said hammer, and I...
It's got a little round little edge.
Talk again about that one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so the transozone, or I mean, pardon me, triintrasound. So that's, again, where it puts out a signal and it releases a lot of things for muscles, that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
and does all sorts of good things for brain vitamins and nutrients where... The Thrivibes actually takes a little while for you to absorb vitamins and nutrients wearing it as a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
The triintrasound literally almost acts like an injection of vitamins and nutrients directly into an area.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's really wonderful. Now, tell me this. This is just a sidebar in a way. The relationship between, for example, your emotional harmony and the way these things work. That might be a pretty basic little question, but I wondered if you could talk a bit about our emotions or our own personal electromagnetic fields or anything like that.
Well, that's where, again, when that gentleman, he dropped out on his magnesium,
mm-hmm.
That also caused some emotional issues. Again, that affected his electromagnetic fields. It was like a cascading type of effect.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have emotions, then it will cascade the other way. There's a lot of trauma or fear or worry that will cascade into the body in some way, some form.
Mm.
And then wherever your weak body part, probably having also to do with the way you were born, your astrological chart,
mm-hmm.
the weakness, it'll always go to the weakest area. And so then that cascade effect. So when we go then the reverse, because many times then people come in and they're you know frayed up, they're just you know all type of emotions, and then we start dealing with that weak area wherever that problem is, and many times then that will cool out, that will chill out the emotions. So they're both interrelated with one another.
It's wonderful, and I know this enough. I know enough about you to realize that you, like a lot of us, are really interested in that amazing evolutionary quality in humanity that is current, or at least is for many of us is wanting to be current. It just seems like this is a great way to get on the cutting edge of yourself. Does that make sense? You know.
Yeah, I had a mother and daughter come in one time, and the daughter was had broken her ankles.
Mm-hmm. Both ankles.
Volleyball, both ankles.
Holy
playing
mackerel.
Volleyball or playing volleyball.
Okay.
And then now it was healed, but still at the same time, she was off the wall emotionally.
Okay.
So we got her on the tables, but also then wrapped her feet with that cling wrap protocol. And everything was pulled off, and she was again kind of bouncing off the wall. She calmed down. Then it was her mother's turn to go on the table. And literally, this person, she came off the table, and she said, and she literally laid down on the carpeted floor and slept for an hour and a half.
Wow. Because you'd pulled whatever it was out of her.
Yeah, whatever it was.
The lack of coherence.
This high level. And then when we pulled the plug, it's just like, oh.
So, hey, Brian, do you do all this stuff on yourself? Do you wrap yourself much besides when
sure.
you get
yes,
bitten
yes,
by spiders?
Very much so.
Wow.
Yes, very much so. A lot of the stuff that's been developed has been because of things that have also happened to me, But it was like, again, there was one device that I made up that was, it's a still an experimental device. I don't sell it, but it's only done at the Trivortex Institute. A lady came in with stage 4 cancer. She was taking a drug, and we were helping a little bit on the actual cancer itself. But then she went back to Los Angeles. She went into a regular hospital. They just totally messed her up. But at the same time, though, while she was doing this cancer stuff, they were doing radiation and various things, and they basically burn out the esophagus.
Well,
again, your tube going to the stomach.
Sure.
And so they actually had a video of where the blockage was and that type of thing. So I built a special device, and it was using stem cells from the tibia, and then, you know, bringing him to the area, and plus also using normal stem cell stimulator on her. And 2 days into the sessions, then she started eating one meal a day, and then she did 10 sessions. She went back to Los Angeles, and 30 days later, she was eating 3 meals a day with normal bowel movements.
You go.
So again, so it didn't do any cure. I mean, when you have a fried up, esophagus, all we did was we just try to bring that, improve that quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't claim any type of cure, because again, she still had to eat very slowly and that type of thing. But you know, we brought her to a point where she could actually eat.
She believed in herself again. So before
yeah,
we
yeah, and
end,
also too is we avoided a nasal insertion of a nasal tube.
Oh, okay.
For her nutrition.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a nice relief. And talking about nasal tube, you know what? I'm going to ask you for a very short commentary on COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, we don't want to go right into that, and it's a bit late in our session, but I wondered if you had any little peacemaking comments or understandings for everybody listening.
First off, is that everything that I see just on the statistics,
mm-hmm.
So anybody can go look at the statistics, and this is medical doctors have done it, researchers and everything else like that. And the most important thing now that the statistics bear out is it's no different from any type, in fact, even less than the last flu season.
Okay.
As far as cases and as far as also deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still a mystery to me of why you would want to absolutely destroy the economy over a event that has less negative impact than the last flu season.
You don't think this is like 1918 flu, eh?
Oh, no, not anywhere close to it. So, because again, that 50 million people died on that one, supposedly. And we're not even close to those numbers at all.
It's a lot of fear marketing.
And keep in mind, though, that they did a study. It was done in Boston, and it was done and repeated in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they had sailors who were in the brig. And what they did then is they offered them to be part of a study. And they took 10 individuals that were dying of the 1918 flu pandemic. And they did die from that. But while they were still alive, they brought in these sailors, 50 of them, with the 10. And then they cross-contaminated them as much as they could possible, from breathing on them, taking saliva, taking things from the nose and wiping it. I mean, everything that you could imagine to do on cross-contamination of the 10 with the 50 healthy sailors and try to cross-contaminate and make them sick, they could not do it. All 50 sailors never got any type of any kind of problem at all. And they repeated this study also in San Francisco, the same thing. Now, those tests should have been part of health classes in junior high and high school. We were not taught those, and they were totally buried. These tests were, and these studies were totally buried by the pharmaceutical companies, because again, it shows a cross-contamination. So the possibilities, the way that that test said, is that to try to get any type of influenza from another person, it doesn't work. what they are now statistically have done with the 1918 pandemic is that they went back and looked at all the numbers, and everyone who took a vaccine died.
Wow. Yeah, see, because when they keep talking about how we have to get a vaccine, I'm going, wow, worldwide market. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they've had 40 years now since AIDS to come up with some sort of vaccine. And it's been either a disaster, failure, caused deaths more. They have yet to come up with any type of vaccine over 40 years. And somehow they're going to make a magical vaccine now, and they failed for 40 years.
Yeah.
And, so that's and again, also too, is that keep in mind now, everyone, that the Navajo reservation has the very highest cases and deaths of COVID.
Okay.
But it's also like Wuhan. Wuhan, what do Wuhan and the Navajo have in common? In Wuhan and the Navajo Nation, they all did almost like a 95% vaccination for flu.
Oh, boy.
And what did they do also on the reservation? And they also have in Wuhan, they put 5G everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big deal as well.
Yeah, so the 5G combination with the vaccine seems to be, now if you have a 5G phone, then you are now a target. So you have to, again, distance yourself from your cell phones. That's really, if there's anything that you need to distance from, it's not from another human being, mm-hmm. but from your cell phone.
Okay. Well, that's a really interesting
thing. The best
thing.
Social distance is from your phone, not from people.
I just want to throw this at you, too. I have a friend who's a nurse, and over where she's living, and I won't say where that is, she was working strictly with people with COVID. And she thinks a little like we do, if not a lot. And I said, well, I think building our immunity is something we should all be talking about as opposed to being afraid, you know. And she said, yeah, that's right, except in her, because she did say after July 4th, a whole bunch of families came in. They were all sick, and up till then they had hardly any cases. So there was something about association. But she said the people that really, not conquered it necessarily, but stayed immune or seemed to conquer it quickly, we're all people with a really strong spiritual commitment, like I am, you know, philosophical, spiritual, not religious mm-hmm. so much, you know? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of attitude.
Yeah, but keep in mind also, we all have to keep in mind also, this is a scientific fact, a virus has never been isolated.
Oh.
Never.
Okay.
But scientific literature does not support anything that they've actually isolated a virus. They have never proven that a virus causes diseases. That's in the scientific literature. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the scientific literature that says, first off, they've isolated a virus, and second off, that they have actually then, it causes a disease.
Okay, so Brian, but then why do we have bunches of people getting sick at the same time?
Well, because also, too, is understand the tests, especially the swab test, does not test for a virus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And like right now, a lot of the veterinarians will not take the swab test because they know that many of the compounds and chemicals that they test for
mm-hmm.
are also in animals.
Okay.
So if you have an animal and you've been around that person or that animal, and that somehow some of their DNA gets mixed in with yours, which it doesn't cause any type of problems. But once then you go take the test, then that will then spike up and go and show up in the test when you're asymptomatic. And who has also said that?
Mm-hmm.
Who said, the World Health Organization has said, that asymptomatic people are not carriers.
Wow.
They said that.
Wow.
They are not carriers. And understand that if you took a, quote, this, quote, virus, which doesn't even exist, but say that if it was the size of a mosquito or whatever this thing is, RNA, whatever substance that they're saying is causing this problem, and say it was the size of a mosquito,
mm-hmm.
the then the very best mask, this M90 mask or M95 mask, its smallest hole would be that the size of a chain link fence. So again, the masks and everything are completely worthless when it comes to blocking any type of small micro nano-sized particle, because they're claiming that the virus is nano-sized and it's this particular size, even though they haven't isolated it. They've never proven it, but they're claiming now that it's this size. And if you're a nano-size, that's according just to traditional science, the virus is a nano-size, and then here's this mask, and the very best mask is now like a chain-link fence, trying to hold back mosquitoes with a chain link fence.
Wow.
So, but at the same time, though, that mask, though, will not allow you to expel all your CO2.
Hmm.
And that's been proven because, again, the people have taken now various tests. And, of course, according to OSHA, you need to have the oxygen around your mouth needs to be 21.5% oxygen to have proper. When you go below that, then that's why OSHA comes in. They say, hey, your environment here, work people, it's below 21.5. You can't do this to your workers.
Hmm.
You always have to maintain 21.5. Well, all the tests have proven that when you put a mask on, your oxygen level goes down to 17.5.
Hmm. That's all remarkable. Well, you know what, Brian David Anderson and Mr. Tri-Vortex, amazing company and amazing products. I would love to get together and talk with you and several other people about the divisiveness of media these days and how people can really access their own, their truth, the real truth. But that would
be a whole other day. The biggest disease right now is network news and traditional news.
You got it. So, but well, maybe we'll get together and speak about that. And otherwise, tell everybody it's trivortex.com. Is that clear enough for people to get to you?
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for being with us and being a paradigm shifter. Your work is amazing, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And this is Veronica Entwistle and Brian David Anderson saying, we'll speak again at some point soon. Big blessings.